from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning, happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today. Chef is out today, but don't you guys worry. I got Laura. She's filling in for Chef. And my main man, Dre's, is in the building to fill in for Ursula. Good morning, Dre's.
Good morning, man. Top of the morning. Let's rock and roll,
yes,
brother.
Yes, let's get to it. We got a lot to get to today. So let's get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
Dr. Fauci on Sunday had some alarming things to say about the new wave of the Delta variant. Quote, we're going in the wrong direction, things are going to get worse, and that the, quote, unvaccinated are propagating this outbreak. He sat down with John Dickerson on CBS's Face the Nation to explain why fully vaccinated people are getting sick, too.
Individuals who get breakthrough infections, namely people who are vaccinated, who might get infected, almost invariably, they get either minimal symptoms or no symptoms at all. But since no vaccine is 100% effective, you're going to see breakthrough infections.
The UK COVID cases are now falling rapidly despite the easing of lockdowns, and it is surprising to experts. The reason why I gave you that headline from CNBC and what's going on in the UK is because of what we have seen over the last 18 months when it comes to COVID. Let me explain further. We see it happen in Europe and over the UK, and then usually we, the United States over here, we're probably about a month behind. So what happens over there, we see our warning signs, and then it ends up happening here. Well, with the Delta variant, it spiked over there. It went crazy over there. They started to talk about masks and little lockdowns and everything. And then now we are seeing the same thing. No doubt about it. We are seeing a rise in cases, so much so. As a matter of fact, the state of Florida right now accounts for 1 in 5 COVID cases here in the United States. The reason why I gave that headline is I'm trying to explain to you why I am optimistically good on this, and I have a glass half full deal on this. Here's why. Because they saw the cases rise over there, and they saw them fall, right? And now here in the United States, yeah, we are seeing them go up. But the good news possibly is that we won't see the deaths that we saw a year ago. Dre's, I have to think this way or else I will drive myself crazy.
Well, you know what? I was, like all of us, I've been reading the news. You know, you're starting to hear a lot more about this Delta variant and COVID. And as that happens, I'm, like most people, Googling and searching. And yeah, to your point, G, what I'm finding is it's not the deaths that we were once seeing, which is huge, right? And that's what we all want. If people aren't dying from this, it's not going to be as big of a deal. No, we don't want anyone to get COVID, but if people are not dying, that's exactly what we're going for. I will say this about the vaccine, though. You know I'm not a Fauci fan, but there's no news here to me from him. There's nothing. He's not sharing anything we didn't know. And I'm saying that to people not to panic. We knew going in when you get the vaccine, they didn't say it's 100%. Right. So if you start talking about, they said 95%, well, 5% of millions of people is a lot of people. So someone who does have the vaccine can still get COVID. But the big point is you're not seeing the deaths. And if nothing else, to me, that's a step in the right direction. That's my thought.
With COVID numbers rising again, as many as 60 bars and restaurants in Seattle are now asking patrons to show their vaccination cards to enter.
No shoes, no shirt, no shoes, no service. We have seen that in the past. What do you mean I can't take my shirt off? By the way, I do not take my shirt off today. But back in the day, when in my younger days, I had a problem with having my shirt on because I wanted to go in there and spend my money. In this case, if a business chooses, hear me out now, if a business chooses to say, you must be vaccinated to come into our business, then that's their right. That they can do that, and you must go ahead and show your vaccination card. And if you choose not to want to go in there, then that's your right as well. Look, let me just say this, and I'm going to share something with you and everybody listening. The vaccine, as you guys know, it is a touchy topic all the way around. And I think what has helped me have more grace and speak about this in a different way instead of pounding and telling people what they should do, it has helped that my son, my oldest son, was someone who did not want to get the vaccine. And as you know, I just got back from Columbus, Ohio, and on Thursday, he waited for me to get there, and we went together, and he got the vaccine. Not that he was scared of the needle. He just has heard so much information, and my son is kind of, when it comes to his body, if you will, he doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He is so scared of anything going into his body. So he did go through and get the vaccine. And I guess what I'm saying is that this, I'm just so shocked that this has become a deal, like vaccines, mask. Like, yeah. I just want to get through this. What you got on this, Drace?
You know, kudos to your son for processing, right? To me, that's the point is you know how I am. For people who don't know, I'm not a vaccine guy. I did get the vaccine, and people were like, oh, well, I actually had a company recently ask me to help them with pushing the vaccines in Black communities. I was like, absolutely not. And they're like, well, why? Because I'm not a vaccine guy. I'm not pro-vaccine. I'm a person who is saying everyone has to make the wisest decision for them. This is a conundrum. It's challenging. It's frustrating. And no one knows anything. No one. The person who's telling you, we know, they don't know. So you can sell me 1,000 commercials. I don't believe you know because you sold me somebody white, Black, and Asian getting a vaccine. That doesn't mean you know what's going to happen 5-10 years from now. Nonetheless, it doesn't mean it's the wrong path either. So people have to make their own decisions. Let's talk about these bars, though. This bar thing, I don't like it, man. And it's, I'm conflicted, I'll say that. I can't be more conflicted. For a bar owner who's going, listen, I got to run a business. I can't take a hit. And I don't want to spread this disease. But at the same time, the scary precedent we're setting in this country where we can leave people out because of some justifiable reason, I don't like it. It starts here and it ends someplace that we're not going to like. And once it's 20 feet down the road, we won't be able to come back and say, well, it was because of the vaccines. But I don't like this precedent, bro, at all.
Now, and that's fair. And it's fair for you to not like this precedent. And to be real with you, I don't like none of this stuff. I don't like these infectious diseases. Yeah. I don't like being talked about this. Can we go back to the days of before COVID? I would love to. I would love to have my cousin Michael back. He didn't survive COVID, okay? He lost his life. I would love to help some of the people who lost businesses behind this to have their business back. I would love for people who lost jobs or who are sick now because of COVID. I would love not to be talking about COVID. But the truth of the matter is, and I hope I'm wrong going forward. I hope that we're 5-6 months away from saying and talking on the radio saying, oh, remember when we went through all that? I don't want to go through this no more. I'm tired. I'm done. I know you're done. I don't think any of us, no matter where you land at on the vaccine or mask, I don't think any of us want to be going through this. But my question is this. Are we going to be dealing with this for the rest of our lives? Are we going to be talking about infectious diseases for the rest of our lives? I don't know, because I don't study infectious diseases. And you know what? I would rather not talk to a virologist ever again in my life. I love Dr. Rasmussen. I really do. But I personally, and I've told her this, I would rather not talk to you again about any infectious disease. I miss the days when I didn't even know what a virologist was. Like the fact that I know epidemiologists and all of these terms, I really want to go back to the days that I didn't know about those things. So, again, going forward, it might be a precedent. And unfortunately, it might be something that we're talking about for the rest of our lives. I hope not.
Seattle Mariners pitcher Eric Swanson says his wife received death threats online after their walk-off loss to the Texas Rangers. He wrote, quote, "I take full responsibility for today's loss. I have no problem seeing fans yell at me and call me everything in the book. But when you threaten my family and go inside my wife's DMs and comment on her pictures wishing death upon us, that's where I draw the line."
I tweeted at Eric yesterday when I saw the news that he had posted, and it's awful. It is awful that some fans choose to do this. It's only a small percentage of people.
Yeah.
And fans, yeah, that is short for what word? Fanatics. That's what fans is short for. And it's sad. What ends up happening is someone who, look, I can speak on this. It's not funny. It is not funny when people realize that they can't get to Eric, or they can't get to someone who is maybe in the limelight. So what they do, they choose to go after your family. That ain't cool. It's really not cool when that happens. Look, I don't think it's cool even if you go after the pitcher who loses the game. But you mean to tell me, like, the nastiness. But you know what we are seeing? We are living in a time where there are so many people that use their platform to empower hateful rhetoric. It's this this new thing where it's okay to say these things. And it's only a small amount, because the majority of people don't think and act this way. However, as you know, Dre's, squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, internet thugs get on my nerves, man. I mean, tough talking through text and through putting something online, they are so annoying. Social media, unfortunately, has brought out the worst of us in a lot of ways, because it allows you to say something that you would never say to someone in their face, but you can put it right there online, and it feels as though there's no repercussions. And not any that anyone can see anyways. I'm with you, though. Shout out to Eric Swanson for really... I like the fact that he stood up for everything that is sports, right? Like, listen, you want to yell at me and tell me I suck and I'm bad and I'm weak, and I think that is all fair game when we're talking sports. But the minute you start going after someone's family, come on, man. Like, I don't know. I always ask myself, who's the loser who's doing that? Like, you want to go in someone's wife's DM and just kind of, you know, and to wish something, to wish death on someone? Are you kidding me? No, this is not good. It's not cool. I've never stood for anything like this. I'm all for heckling, though. Let me be clear. I am one heck of a heckler. I will talk and banter about sports, but you can't cross the line. Leave people's families out of things, and I don't need to slide in your DMs to do anything like that. No, let's just talk sports and leave it all about the judgment of his play. But shout out to him for stepping out, saying something.
And I will say, you know, this isn't just sports, right? Like, we're seeing a lot of it, right? Like, if you're listening right now, maybe you've been online. Maybe you had a view or an opinion about something, or somebody just jumps in your inbox and sends you threatening messages towards you. Like, this is not just a problem with athletes. This is a problem that is in our society right now. And what is happening is, hear me out here, conflict resolution is at an all-time low. People don't know how to talk things out, right? There's this extremism that is happening, and it's, oh my goodness, I don't like what you say, you don't like what I say, we hate each other. Now, it's hate each other online. But as you are seeing out here in the world, it is also filtering into real life. So, yes, I don't like the internet thugs either. I don't like them. But some of this stuff
is... But can I say this, G?
What do you got?
It's indicative of two different things, right? It's social media and the impact of that. And then number two, it is the political climate in this country, left and right. Think of it like parents, right? If you're a child and you're watching your parents fight with no conflict resolution, it filters right on down. Everything about our society and watching the left and the right bicker, not come together, there's no bipartisanship. Watching that play out in mass across our country, it tells us this is okay and this is how you move. Why? If the adults are doing it, these are the leaders. If the leaders are doing that in the country, what do you expect the people to do? That's my thought.
Two Canadian citizens submitted fake vaccination cards before flying to Toronto. Now, each one has been fined nearly $20,000. This happened in mid-July and is so far the only instance in the past month of fraudulent documents detected at the Canadian border. But the maximum fine for submitting false information or documents to Canadian authorities at the border is $750,000 and up to 6 months in jail. So really, at $20,000 each, they got off relatively easy.
Well, I've talked about this before on the fines and everything. So check this out. If I was in front, let's say I got caught with this whole vaccination deal. And let's say a judge says to me, all right, Mr. Scott, I'm going to give you two choices. You pick your punishment. You can either spend a week in jail or you can take this fine of $20,000. Dre's, which one do you think I'm taking? I'm taking a fine of $20,000.
You're going to jail.
No, I'm not.
You're going to jail.
No, I'm not going to jail. I do not want to go to jail. I cannot handle jail. No. I would rather pay the $20,000 and go ahead. I'll make payments on that, Your Honor, than to go to jail. So the reason why I'm bringing that topic up is I'm saying this. Well, I'm telling you. Look, your boy's scared of that place. Anyway, I'm bringing that up just to say, when you start giving folks jail time for things like that, yeah, you ain't gonna be doing that. Your thoughts on it?
You're going too far. I mean, Jesus, gee, it's too early. The show just started. Don't rile me up this early. Can you wait till, you know what I mean? 9:45 or something? No. Okay, yes. The jail time, you're going downtown to King County Jail. You'll be all right, man. 1 week in there, you'll probably make some friends. The point is simply this. I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, though, because I'm actually for this. Somebody flies in, and I want to say it's crazy in Canada that they are. The top fine is $750,000. Woo! Right? So these guys got off easy, $20,000, and kudos to them. Canada, excuse me. Kudos to them for saying, listen, we're going to fine you if you come in here. I'm actually for this. You don't have your vaccine. You don't have a proper vaccine card, especially making a fake one. I'm not for that. So I know it might sound contradictory to some people. It's not. I'm not for this, right? If you're not vaccinated, if the country has said, these are the rules and this is what we're standing by, you have to abide by the laws. But man, $750,000, Nikes. That's
high. Hey, still ahead. The Washington Post evaluates data on police shootings since 2015. How many do you think lose their lives every single year? We'll discuss that and more. It's the G and Ursula Show. Dre's fills in. It is the G and Ursula Show. Really appreciate you guys listening with us today. Dre's fills in for Ursula. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, as you guys heard in Heather Bosch's newscast, Simone Biles will compete in Tuesday's women's balance team final. The USA Gymnastics has announced. Dre's and I have a lengthy discussion about Simone Biles. That happens at 10 o'clock. But right now, Dre's, this news out of the Washington Post. Since 2015, police officers, have fatally shot more than 6,400 people, an average of nearly 1,000 a year, or almost three each day. The yearly toll even reached a new high of 1,021 fatal shootings in 2020. Let me give you the statistics. White people are 60% of the American population and have accounted for 45% of those fatally shot by police. Black people are 13% of the population, but have been 23% of those shot and killed by police. So despite a push since 2015 for police body cameras and the emergence of surveillance footage by bystanders, cell phone videos, more than 80% of fatal police shootings still were not filmed. More than one in five people shot by police since 2015, they're saying, struggled with mental illness. Now, we are having this discussion because they actually went through and did a detailed report since 2015 into now. When I give you that and you've read the article, Dre's, talk about what stands out to you, sir.
You know, there's a lot here. First, it's refreshing to read something like this from the Washington Post, to read some old-fashioned journalism, right? It felt like someone taking a step back and going, on one side, I have someone saying, communities that are saying, yo, there's a problem here. You know, the police are harassing us. On the flip side, you have the police who are saying, no, we're doing our job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to take their time since 2015 to now, it gives us a lot of time because men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't, right? And the stats don't. And the numbers are telling us, when we take a step back, that African-Americans are disproportionately being shot, right? So we're 13% of the population, but we're 23% of the people being shot and killed by police officers are African-American. But taking race out of it, these numbers just feel really high, right? They feel really high. Now, let me say this to people. I am not an anti-police guy. You've never heard me be that way. I never said defund the police. In the midst of everyone screaming defund, I was going, no, right? If we want to reform or find a word where we reform. And so I think that this article tends to lean a lot more where I am, and I believe you are, G, as well. Some of the reasons they gave for these shootings, let me read these. They said overly aggressive policing, right? This was some of the issue. Now, mind you, some of these, a fair amount of them, were just good policing. Sometimes, I'm not the person who says, when you are a police officer, you're not going to have to use your weapon and shoot someone. That's not me at all, right? I am someone who goes, how do we train them a little bit better? So overly aggressive policing. Poor training was another reason given. A bad day by the police officer. They're saying sometimes a police officer is just having a bad day and he ends up triggered and in a situation that goes a little bit too far. And then the other one is not performing the best at their duties. So throughout this article, they're finding ways that to be able to highlight, hey, some people are losing their lives at the hands of police officers, and it's just not justified. I have a lot more to say, but I want to hear from you, G. What did you think when you read it?
I thought that the report was excellent. I loved how they just stuck to the numbers and didn't have a bias for or against police officers.
Yeah.
What stands out to me is that any time a discussion or a report like this comes up, for some reason, you're listening right now, be honest, when there's a report like this, why is there such an emotional feeling that comes up? Why does there seem like if there is a report like this, and especially it just seems like it's for police officers, why is there this sentiment that they're hated? They're not liked, right? There's no other profession that if you were to say, if I was to get on air and tell you that I was at a restaurant on Saturday and the service was horrible, it was awful. Yeah. You would not say, you just don't like servers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. Or if I told you that I went to an auto mechanic and they just weren't that good, you would not tell. Yeah. Are you getting where I'm going with this? I just don't understand why some pick and choose when to have that love for law enforcement, because when I see those four officers testify about January 6th and I see the hate that they get, I'm curious, are those that hate are from the same people who claim to love law enforcement? Now, let me just get to the bottom of it. Law enforcement are filled with people. Just like servers, just like any profession, they're still people. And so I don't like anybody that is disrespectful about police officers based on them being police officers. I will fight and argue with them as a son of law enforcement, for sure, but just a person of human decency. Now, back to this article in particular, I hope in the future this gets better. That's 3 a day. That's 1,000 a year. I think that we all can agree that, yes, there are times where it is justified. No question about it. No doubt. There's been some times before that people's like, oh, I can't believe that. And I'm sitting back like, I can. You better sit on down somewhere and don't be doing that and attacking a police officer that wants to go home to their families. But at the same time, we do have a problem in this country with some of these police officers that if they have a bad day, that bad day, if you will, might result in someone losing their life. Black, white, Asian, doesn't matter. That's a problem. And so my last point I'll make is this. Whenever I go to the airport, and I'm going to talk about a lot of airport stuff because I've been spending my time in the airport, I look at TSA. Yeah. You ever see TSA? TSA. Mm-hmm. They don't have any guns, but for some reason, they get the job done. Do I think law enforcement needs guns? Yes. I ain't saying take away the guns. I'm just saying I would like this past year, 2020 was 1,021. Can we cut that in half? Can we get it under 750? I mean, I'm not saying that I want any death.
Yes.
But 1,000 is a lot. I'm sorry, Dres. Go ahead.
It's just high. And someone might say, based on what? Based on me being an American citizen and caring about my country, I just don't want that many people being shot at the hands of police officers. I don't think it has to happen. I was taught as a kid, we brought in officers and it was officer friendly. And they patrol the community and get cats out of trees and all of these different things. But that's just not what the numbers are saying, something different. And so I think to your point earlier, what is shocking to me is when someone will defend something. I have no problem with that. But when the numbers go in another direction, if you're unwilling to pause, now you're not defending something. You're just delusional. And these numbers are a little bit high. And we can do better. That's all I'm saying.
Coming up next, speaking of airport, airplane etiquette is the topic of conversation. And I'll explain to you what I saw over the weekend when it came to people being on the airplanes. We do that and we need to talk next. It's G and Ursula with Dre's filling in. It is the G and Ursula show. Dre's fills in for Ursula today. Coming up at 10 o'clock and 3 things that you need to know. Simone Biles plans to compete in the balance beam per her last possible event. Well, Dre's and I will discuss everything surrounding Simone Biles, and I'm going to give you a warning. I have no idea what Dre's thinks. He has no idea what I think. So this is going to be interesting, and you're going to learn for the first time the same time I do. But right now, we need to talk and about airplane etiquette. And in the news, Dre's, we often see how crazy it is right now at airports. That's true. It's packed. Everybody's traveling. People for the first time ever are having the opportunity to leave and go and see their loved ones and family members. I sat next to a lady on a plane. It was the first time she had traveled and flown since COVID started back in early last year of 2020. Understandably so. Now, we also get on the news and we see all about how people are rude and people are going crazy, attacking each other. All this nonsense that we've seen. I have to tell you, though, from what I've seen recently, it is the exact opposite. People have been amazing. They have been so pleasant. Mm-hmm. I have seen yes, sir, no, ma'am, thank yous. A lady yesterday was getting ready to get off the plane, and she was going to reach for her bag in the overhead compartment. A gentleman went to go help her. I saw that. Those things are great. Even this part, you know how when you land and there's always this rush of everybody standing up and you're wondering, why are you standing? We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Yeah.
Even that has gotten better. Folks are not standing up. They're landing. They still chilling. They're not in a rush because they know that you can't go anywhere because there's still people in front of you. I just got to tell you, I got to give a shout out to all of the people that is at least I flew with. It has been fantastic.
I don't know you and these violins and whistling Dixie you got going on over there, but that has not been my experience. I've been flying, and we are as antsy as ever. We are the same old humans. As soon as that flight lands, people jump up, and they are hightailing to get off of the airplane as much as ever. Nonetheless, I would like to do something. People of Washington, you have come to the right place this morning because Dre's is going to give you proper airplane etiquette. Are we ready, ladies and gentlemen? Grab your papers and pens. We are going to get ready in how you fly. First and foremost, if you're going to fly now, you better mask up. I think that should be a given, but have your mask. And I would suggest maybe two and something to cover your eyes. In addition to that, get the window seat because there is no seat on an airplane but the window seat. And when you get that window seat, you listen, that's my window seat. This window is my window. This isn't your window. This isn't for everyone on the plane. When I sit in the window seat, it's mine. If I choose to open it so you can see the sunlight and see us land and take off, great. But if I'm tired and I want to pull it down, you don't get to see what's out there. And to the guy in the middle, if you are the guy in the middle, you don't look over the guy in the window seat to try to look out the window, man. Figure out how to get a good side eye or something. I don't know. But you don't get to reach over and look over. Lastly, I will say this so you can chime in if you like. Conversation. Now, gee, there are a bunch of languages right out here in the world. There's Japanese, English. There's even sign language. There's another language I want to bring up. It's called body language. When I am on an airplane, I might want to talk. I might not. Pick up on the body language and please, please have a stick of gum with you as well. Body language, stick of gum. Don't reach over anyone. Oh, and I don't know how you handle the armrest deal. I need your help with that, G. Whose armrest is what?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. Look, I don't know about you guys, but when the flight attendant is getting at the very beginning and they're like, hey, they're showing you the seatbelt and they're showing you the oxygen mask, that's cool.
Ignore that.
But a lot of you guys, no. I'm not saying ignore that. I'm saying they need to add on stuff, right? And what they need to add on there is, hey, now, as far as the armrest is concerned and those sitting next to the window, aisle seats, middle, this is how it goes. If you are next to the window, the armrest on the right in the window, that's your space. That's it. If you are sitting in the aisle way, right, you get the left armrest. That's your deal. If you are sitting in the middle, those two in the middle, those are yours. You have the worst seat in the house, sir or ma'am. That is your armrest. Now, I know that I cannot control the little button that they have given out for the airplanes, right? They let these buttons, they hit them, and you're able to relax and recline. Please do not recline, because when you recline, the tray in behind you is G. in someone else's chest.
G.
What?
Bravo, brother. Bravo. That is awesome. I like that. They need to do it. Call Delta, Alaska. Yeah. Tell them to do it. Let's go.
Hey, coming up next, the three things you need to know. Dre's and I, we get to the bottom of what's going on surrounding Simone Biles. It's G and Ursula with Dre's.